DJ, can you start the recording? Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the March 16, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also available telephonically for access by the public. DJ Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. During the meeting, if anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers speaking. Members of the Board of Commissioners are convening in person this morning in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Members of the public may also access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person according to their preference. If the teleconference is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Vice Chairman Thorson will preside at this morning's meeting and will be voting by voice vote. Meeting participants, please do state your name each and every time prior to speaking. Telephone participants, please mute your lines if you are not speaking. And with that, I will turn it over to Vice Chairman Thorson to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson, and I'd like to call the meeting to order. Our time for the record is 9:32 a.m. And I'd like to ask Carol to conduct a roll call vote, roll call attendance of the Board of Commissioners in attendance and staff.
Certainly. Commissioner Orth.
Here.
Vice Chair Thorson.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Craven.
Here.
Commissioner Dwyer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Carol. It's Jim Thorson again, and I would like to introduce Board Action Number 1, which is approval of the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on February 16, 2023. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Kevin. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Beth. It's Jim Thorson again. Is there any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, I'd like to ask Corinne to please conduct a voice vote on the motion.
Yes, this is Corinne Myers speaking. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on February 16th, 2023, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The ayes appear to have it. The motion is approved.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson again, and this is agenda item number 2, which is the Vice Chairman's, the Presiding Commissioner's remarks. And I just wanted to say that this is this marks the 5th quarter that I have been chairing these meetings, and over that time I've had the pleasure of getting to work with effectively each of you on staff, and I've gotten to know board members, some of who have come and gone and others who have stayed. And I just want to say how much fun it has been. And I say fun because we are in extremely challenging times where housing is a serious problem. It gets a lot of attention. Not all of it's positive. But the work that you do every day as staff and the work that we're trying to accomplish here is truly making a difference in the lives of Rhode Islanders. And that's something we should all feel good about. We're trying to do the right thing. And it's been my pleasure to oversee this over the last 5 quarters to get to know each of you working on that. When I look in your faces, I think of things that we've worked on together and how interesting it's been for me, a real learning experience. And I can recall back in my days in Treasury 25 plus years ago when I told the state treasurer that my first day at a housing board meeting would be my last day in Treasury. I think this is a curse, rebound curse come to get me. But I really have enjoyed it, and I just wanted to thank everybody for your diligent participation with me and patience in teaching me what there's so much more to learn, and I'm glad I'm staying on the board, and I look forward to a new chair coming in next month and being able to poke at him. So with that, I'd like to turn it to agenda item number three, which I'd like to introduce Carol Ventura, our executive director, to present a review of our five-year strategic production plan. Carol.
A couple of things that I want to bring to the board's attention. First, this terrific article about a development that we've provided financing for in Burville, and it's being developed by Joe Golic with his team and a lot of sweat equity by homeowners that will live here. We purchased this property about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
25 years ago.
Three-ish.
Yeah. And Joe built 96 affordable rental apartments, and then simultaneous with that started doing this development on the other side, this home ownership development, using USDA dollars, which are very challenging to use. So I thought it was a terrific article, and it speaks to what home ownership means to people, particularly people who feel as though it's up. So great article. And we have these lovely calendars from HUD, so we've provided you with, I don't know if people use calendars anymore. I do, so Beth, you do, right? Yeah. So a great calendar. I did upload an ED report to give you the latest statistics that we have from the development group and homeownership primarily, and some events happening that Amy usually provides in the report. But today, we want to make a presentation on a five-year production plan. This plan was a component of a strategic plan that the board approved, I believe, back in February of 22. So it's taken this amount of time to bring this to you. There's a lot of projections and estimations in this report. And so we will periodically review this and take it back to probably the credit committee once a year, and then the full board once a year, as we step back and whether or not the estimations are still in effect given everything that's changing in the finance world. I want to thank our directors and the executive team for their work on this.
Years and thank you. There's no reason to think that it won't be just as much change in the coming 5 years. So what we did our best to do was kind of look at what we've done historically, anticipate some of the trends. I mean, certainly just the past year of interest rate increases alone have changed our outlook in a real way and kind of affected the way we look at how we're going to do business going forward. So again, this is a living document. This is not something that's set in stone, because the world is not set in stone, and we have to react as best we can to the housing market, to economic forces, to all the external stuff that play into what we do every day. So we will be coming back, as Carol said, once a year to credit, probably in 6 months on a six-month basis, and then annually to the board at whole to present where we are and where we're going and update it for one more fiscal year. But I think it's really an important document for a couple of reasons. One, for the board in particular, because most of the stuff that we come to the board with has to do with, there's a lot of development transactions that come here, and you know a lot about that because we require your approvals. There are some other programs that come before the board for approval, but I don't know that everyone fully understands how deeply involved each of the departments in the organization are in all of these programs. You know, as we get into this, and I'm going to spare you the litany of going through each one of the programs, because it's about 7 pages of small print programs in terms of what we do. There's an enormous amount of stuff that we do, and the money goes out the door, not just from development and not just from home ownership, but almost every department in the organization puts some money on the street in terms of administering certain programs for different populations. And I think that's something that, you know, having been associated with this organization now for a long time, doesn't always get the light of day, and folks, you know, in the organization don't always get the credit for being the integral part of what we do, you know, in each and every department. And I want to make sure we highlight that. And as we go through, you'll see that there are a lot more departments probably than you thought who administer these programs and who deliver great service. The other thing that I think is critical, you know, from an external standpoint is, I think a lot of folks, when they interact with Rhode Island Housing, tend to focus on the things that they interact with us about, the programs that they themselves are trying to access, and maybe don't understand the full breadth and scope of who we are and what we do. There are folks who think of us in a certain way as, you know, a single family lender. There are folks who think of us as, you know, a development partner. There are folks who think of us as, you know, the folks who administer the continuum of care, but really don't understand exactly all of the ways in which not only do we provide programs for low and moderate income Rhode Islanders, but in terms of the magnitude of the investments that we make into this state. And when I say that, it's obviously through our programs, through our lending, but those programs don't exist in a vacuum. They are job creators. They are drivers of community development. They are investment in the municipalities in this state in a very significant way. And I want to be sure that when we produce documents like that, it's giving the full story and helping folks understand exactly where our money goes, what it does, and what we intend to do. And so I'm hopeful that we've done a decent job of that. As you can see, we'll talk a little bit about the how our funds break down, the amount of funds that we put out every year, and how that kind of breaks up. And again, I won't go through each and every one of these because it'll get a bit repetitive. But for fiscal year 2022, we've anticipated $953 million of investment. And you can see how that's broken up, and there's a significant chunk coming from the state and from the U.S. Treasury, obviously through the SFRF dollars. And you'll see that trend continue over the next 3 years. So when we get to 2027, the estimate we have right now is about $987 million of investment. So again, I just want to, you know, be clear for the folks listening at home, that's almost $1 billion of investment into the state of Rhode Island in a variety of different ways. But as you can see, over that time, the share of that investment is borne by fewer folks. And we anticipate that by 2027, those dollars are largely going to come from Rhode Island Housing programs and our lending, and also HUD, with a very small amount of money coming from the Treasury and the state. There, obviously, as we expend the SFRF dollars, that investment declines, and we're not stepping back. We're not putting fewer dollars out there. We're just shouldering it in a different way. So I just wanted to give folks an idea where the money comes from and how much. We get to the next bar graph, and we can see just the different populations that we serve. We tried a lot of different ways to say this, and beneficiary seems to be the best one, the most comprehensive one. But we do, obviously, a lot of lending for first-time home buyers and home buyers in general, about 12 programs, 8 programs which benefit folks who are in their homes currently, 23 programs, the largest amount of programs benefit renters directly, 5 benefit developers and property managers, 3 for community organizations, direct support for those, 3 for individuals experiencing homelessness, and we have the municipal TA program that's going to directly benefit municipalities. As you might imagine, the largest chunk of those programs go to support folks that are making less than 80% of area median income, and a subset within that, folks making less than 60 in our tax credit program, and then 40 and 30 in some of our other programs, going up to folks who make less than 140% of area median income, a narrow sliver. But we serve folks at pretty much the entire income spectrum up to 140% of area median income in a variety of different ways. It is a more expansive idea, I think, for folks of what we do than just low-income housing investment, but it really speaks to the great need for these housing programs across the income spectrum and folks who have not traditionally benefited from our program needing more assistance than ever before. And thankfully, with the help of our partners at the state and the federal government, we've been able to step up and meet that need. Again, as you can see, and I won't go through each one of these programs, but I think it's useful for folks to do that as an exercise, because it will show exactly how much money we're planning to spend over the next 5 years, where that money comes from, a brief description of those programs. This is a really good cheat sheet for folks when people ask, oh, does Rhode Island Housing have any money for that? You are on the board of Rhode Island Housing. What do you know about that? This is kind of a Cliff Notes version of, well, yeah, they kind of do have programs for that. And here's what they are. Here's who at Rhode Island Housing handles that type of thing. So I think I'm really very proud of this in a way that it shows our reach. It shows how we're able to step up and meet the need when those needs arise. But it also is, kind of an excellent planning document for us and for the information of the board as we come forward over the next few years with, we're here for you, with different programs and different ideas. This is the blueprint now. Again, the needs may change. Our ability to meet those needs may be altered in some way. But this is the result of a lot of really committed people thinking really hard about the future in Rhode Island, about what we're doing now, what we could do better, what we could do more of, and how we're going to develop the resources to do that. And so I'm very happy for all of the folks who contributed to this, because this was a genuine team effort. Everybody really put the work in over the past year to come up with this. This is not an easy thing to do this kind of forecasting. It's not an easy thing to do the kind of analysis of what we've done, to think critically about what we can do better. But I'm really very pleased and proud of this document. I think it's something that hopefully we can use as the backbone of discussions with the board and with the public going forward for the next 5 years. Happy to entertain any questions.
This is Jim Thorson again. I'm going to ask the first question, James, because of what you said last. Have there been any sessions or any session contemplated for a public presentation of this material?
We haven't. We wanted to present it to the board first, and then we're certainly, happy to do that. If that's something the board wants to do, we can certainly put something together.
Yeah. I think that's an absolute imperative. Clearly, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the state of Rhode Island with respect to housing production, but the narrative has been that we aren't doing anything, and I think this belies that. And I think that we need to raise awareness of what it is that our government is going to address these issues related to housing, because in my mind, Rhode Island Housing is something that works well, and we need to talk about that, because I think there's a lot of frustration built up over what's not being done without giving some recognition to what is being done, what's working, and where there are gaps. But that is really the place to start when it comes to the discussion as to what needs to be done, is what we're doing already, and what the difference between what we're doing already is and where the needs are. Well, we've already identified some of the needs, but I think that addressing those needs in some measure relates back to this document, and that really needs to be socialized broadly. I'm sorry, other comments or questions?
I have a request.
Yeah.
Total this up by number of homes produced per year. And maybe further break that down between home ownership and...
So if you look, Kevin, and everybody, underneath the dollar amount, it will show you the number of anticipated beneficiaries for each one of these?
I see that.
Okay.
I see a grand total.
Okay.
At the bottom. So that when I see five-year production plan, I'm thinking, okay, how many are we going to produce per year?
I will rely upon someone else to do the math, we can do it.
We can do it by program, but I'm thinking at least just a bottom line number so we know. And then I think it would be helpful. I think the numbers are skewed a little bit because we're putting out 450 million of mortgages or something. So that's a huge chunk of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So maybe break it out between home ownership versus rental, and then ideally, we'd also see how much are we producing by income group, I think, here. which I think we've done in the past.
Yeah, we could do it again.
I think that
someone else will have to do the mathematics, but we can. I feel confident we can pull it off.
I mean, my eyes glaze over at all of this stuff.
Really?
And I love spreadsheets, but this is a lot. So
you bet.
That'd be perfect.
We'll produce that and circulate it in advance of the next
project. Great. Thank you.
Others?
Thank you to James for his leading this, and I'm going to go back and get you all the data you want.
You bet.
Yeah. This is a plan that works. It really shows what not just what you plan to do, but what you've done. So there really is that lends credibility to the forecast, what's actually been accomplished. So there is a basis for making these wild predictions. They're not wild at all because they're based on fact.
Yeah, and I want to highlight that too because it's something that was really critical from the beginning. We wanted to say this has to be realistic. It has to be something that we can tie to fact and tie to data. And I would give tons of credit to our finance department because they were able to go back and do a very thorough analysis of, like, here's what we've spent over the years, here's how we've spent it, and really, you know, stuff that is way beyond my ability to kind of think about interest rate environments and what are the potential exposures in the market that would affect our ability to generate the money we need to do this work. So, you know, hats off to them because everything we do, obviously, is really supported and underlined by the great job they do in the finance department. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So that brings us to board action number 4. This is Jim Thorson again introducing approval of reservation of low-income housing tax and firm approval of financing for parcels 9, 1, and 2 in progress. And for that, I'm going to ask Ann Berman, Director of Real Estate Development, to present board action number 4.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Ann Berman. Parcel 9, 1, and 2 is a proposed 66-unit mixed-income development located on a vacated I-195 parcel in the Fox Point neighborhood in Providence. This is a hybrid development. It's comprised of a 29-unit 4% tax credit deal and a 37-unit 9% project. Penrose is the developer. So this request, and there are two resolutions, is for firm approval of low-income housing tax credits not to exceed $515,982, as well as a home loan, an HTF loan for the 9% component, as well as firm approval of a tax-exempt construction loan and an APH housing production fund loan for the 4% component. Both tranches received preliminary approval back in April and June of 2022. Collectively, 44 of the units will serve households between 30% and 60% of area median income, and there will be 22 market rate units. There are 8 project-based vouchers and 6 811 vouchers as well, which will help to serve those 30% units. Penrose is partnering with Children's Friends, and they will build a Head Start daycare, which will be located on the ground floor. It is part of the 4% tranche, but it's actually funded separately by Children's Friends. The development will utilize solar. It meets our zero energy standards, as well as Energy Star. So it's a very energy efficient building. It's also providing hardwired broadband for residents, which was one of the items that we added to last year's QAP. Since preliminary, the developer has reallocated some units between parcel 1 and 2, but overall, the unit count totals between the two projects have remained unchanged. We discussed with our credit committee that costs have increased fairly significantly since preliminary commitment. There was over $1 million worth of value engineering done. It's still an expensive project. I will note that parcel 9, because it's building the childcare, was able to generate additional credits, but the childcare facility alone is adding over $100,000 per unit. So it does look a little more expensive than we typically would see. However, I think it's important to note how much of that is related to the just to the daycare. Our construction team has done a deep dive. They've evaluated the proposed schedule of values and determined that it is consistent with what we're seeing in the industry today. The investor is NEF. Eastern Bank is the construction lender on both tranches, and they will purchase the tax-exempt bonds from us in a private placement. The senior lender on the 9% deal is Cedar Rapids. So in conclusion, we're seeking approval of 9% tax credits, a home loan, a housing trust fund loan for parcel one, and tax-exempt bonds, and a housing production fund loan for parcel two. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ann. Kevin, can you offer comments from the credit committee?
Certainly, I'd be pleased to. Thank you, Jim. Just adding to Ann's presentation, I'd like to state how I understand the staff worked very diligently and in a collaborative way with the developer to try to rein in these costs, and that costs were looked at on a line-by-line basis. And Tony from Design and Construction was present in our credit committee meeting and informed us that he and his staff reviewed this. The cost about, I think, when you take out the Head Start cost increase is about 17% range, which they felt was consistent with what they're seeing at large based on construction cost metrics. I'd also like to highlight that the City of Providence is putting in a lot of money in this transaction. It's a very, a project they very much want to see go forward. And the other note that I'd like to add is that there is a lot of soft money going into this transaction. 50% of the surplus cash flow will be going back to pay down that soft debt. We did approve of this project at committee, and I would make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Beth? Any further comments or questions from the board? All right then, Jim Thorson, I'd like to ask General Counsel to conduct a voice vote on this motion.
Thank you. This is Corey Myers. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving the reservation of low-income housing tax credits and firm approval of financing for Parcel 9, 1, and 2 in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. For the record, with 4 affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank
you very much, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again, introducing Board Action Number 5, which is authorization to issue tax-exempt bonds to support the development of Parcel 9, 2. For $8.2 million. And once again, Ann Berman is going to walk us through this.
Thank you. This is Ann Berman. So tying into the previous resolution, this request for action is seeking firm approval of the issuance of the tax-exempt bonds not to exceed $8.2 million for a private placement transaction with Eastern Bank. The request is for Parcel 9-2, which is the 4% tranche of the overall 9% transaction. Rhode Island Housing will issue the tax-exempt note to Eastern. Rhode Island Housing will advance the loan proceeds to the borrower with our standard obligations. The note and loan will be assigned to Eastern Bank. We will receive a one-time origination fee as well as an annual servicing fee. And I think it's worth noting that Eastern Bank will take all of the financial risk as a result of the private placement.
So, and this is essentially the companion piece to the motion we just carried. I don't know that we need a whole lot of additional explanation on that, and I'm sure it was approved by the credit committee in toto with the other part of the package. So for that reason, I'm just going to request a motion on board action number 5.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Beth. Corinne, would you please conduct a voice vote? Oh, I'm sorry. Any comments or questions? Can we have a voice vote, please, Corinne?
This is Corey Myers speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approving authorization to issue tax-exempt bonds to support the development of Parcel 9-2 in the amount of $8,200,000, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. With four affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson again introducing board action number six, which is firm approval of financing for Park Home 4, Newport. Ann Berman will also present on board action number six.
Thank you. This is Ann Berman. This request for action is for firm approval of financing for Park Home 4 in Newport. Dare I say, it's a little simpler than the one we just did. The developer is the Housing Authority of the City of Newport. The Housing Authority is seeking tax-exempt financing in an amount not to exceed $11,400,000, of which $4.2 million will remain as permanent debt. They're also seeking approval of a capital magnet fund loan and a housing production fund loan. This is the fourth phase of the planned five-phase redevelopment of the public housing development known as Park Home. It involves the demolition, in this phase, of 74 units, and they will come back with 51 units and six buildings. This development will serve households up to 60%, and there will be a mix of 1 to 4 bedroom units. 40 of the units will be served with a project-based voucher, and the remaining 11 will be part of a public housing contract subsidy. So all of the units will be subsidized. The development cost is about $23 million. Overall, since preliminary costs have risen approximately $3 million, and $2 million of that is primarily related to industry-wide construction cost escalations. I do think it's worth noting that in this particular instance, because it's a Housing Authority property, the development is subject to Davis-Bacon, which does add a premium to some of the construction costs. There's also a significant demolition component. But I will also add that additional LIHTC equity as well as increased debt help to offset those costs. The syndicator is Boston Financial, who has been a great partner in all four of the phases. So we are seeking approval of a tax-exempt loan, a housing production loan, and a capital magnet fund loan. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ann. Jim Thorson. Kevin, do you have any comments from the credit committee on this action?
Just a few, yes, Jim. One of the issues was the replacement units falling a little bit short of the existing number. As you indicated in our credit committee meeting, they've created an artificial vacancy essentially at the property, so no existing tenants will be displaced as part of this redevelopment effort. And that come phase five will get up to the original number in that development. Rhode Island Housing will step in at the 50% construction completion point, I believe, with construction financing, so our risk will be a lot lower since we'll be in the ground at that point. And then I'd also like to note that asset management, amongst the other departments, have reviewed the proposal and feel it and approve of it, in particular the operating expenses used in the pro forma. So we approve this transaction. I'd make a motion to approve today.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any further questions? Corinne, would you please conduct a voice vote of this board action number six.
Yes, this is Corey Myers speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of firm approval of financing for Park Home 4 in Newport, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to give you another chance. It's Jim Thorson to talk about board action number seven, revised approval of housing production fund award for Frenchtown Road 1 and 2 in East Greenwich. Ann, can you walk us through that?
I can. Thank you. This is Ann Berman. So this request is for a revision to the firm approval of the housing production funds awarded for Frenchtown Road 1 and 2 last month. The capital stack that was approved last month had a reduced HPF award due to the project receiving a $2 million federal appropriation which we call the T-HUD Award. This federal appropriation allowed for the reduction of the HPF funds. Back in June of last year, the initial HPF allocation was a little bit more than $3.6 million. We have come to learn that it's going to take anywhere from 6 to 9 months for HUD to finalize the release of the $2 million T-HUD funds. So in an effort to get the project closed and under construction in the next 60 days, we're asking the board to increase the HPF award back to the original amount. This will allow us to close. The plan is that once the T-HUD money is available, we will release, we'll discharge $1.7 million and get back to the original allocation of $1.9 in the T-HUD money that was approved last month. This is really just a way to get the project closed and in the ground so we can get the units built that much faster. Happy to answer any questions.
Kevin, any word from the credit committee?
We didn't have a lot of discussion on this one other than I think to highlight the ingenuity, I think, of development staff, and also I understand in-house legal counsel. So kudos to you all for finding a way to make the transaction work. And we approve of this. I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Kevin. We have a motion by Kevin. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Beth. Corinne, would you please conduct a voice vote and report the results?
This is Corey Myers, Commissioners. All those in favor of a revised approval of Housing Reduction Fund or HPF award for Frenchtown Road 1 and 2 in East Greenwich, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 4 affirmative votes, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson again. I'd like to introduce board action number 8, which is approval of the selection of print and mail services vendor, ProMail, et cetera. And Lisa Frimiano, our chief operating officer, will present on board action number 8.
Good morning, Lisa Frimiano. This request for action before you this morning is for your approval of ProMail, et cetera, for our print and mailing services at Rhode Island Housing. We currently use both internal and external print and mail services. We average about 3,000 printed and mailings per month, sometimes higher and lower, depending on what we're doing as far as activity. So sometimes we do engage an external vendor to provide the services. In October of 22, we issued an RFP for vendors to reply to for the print and mail services. We put the notice on our website as well as on the Kidder Hour Division of Purchasing website. And we also sent a solicitation to several known print and mail vendors. We received 4 responses to the RFP, and we had those reviewed by an internal committee. We looked at professional capacity, fee structure, and turnaround time for the services. The scoring matrix is attachment B, and you can see that attached there. After the review, we are recommending that CPC Social Ventures, Inc., doing business as ProMail, et cetera, be awarded the contract for these services. We have familiarity with them. They've been working with us for quite some time. They're a Rhode Island-based nonprofit, and they use a workforce connected to the Providence Center, where they provide job training, employment, and internships to those with barriers to employment. So we're seeking to enter into a 3-year contract with 2 1-year renewals. And we typically spend between $20,000 and $50,000, and I know the resolution before you says $50,000 as a max. I would request that we increase that to $75,000 since we have another vendor that works with us that occasionally can't perform in the time frame needed. So happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Lisa. Does the board have any questions? In that case, I'd like to entertain a motion. Beth? Motion by Beth. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Kevin.
That's Kevin. Corinne, would you please conduct a voice vote and report the results?
Yes, this is Corinne Meyer speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of the approval of the selection of ProMail, et cetera, the print and mail services vendor, as the resolution was modified by Lisa Premiano with regard to maximum cost. Please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. For the record, the motion is approved with four affirmative votes. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again, and we have board action number 9, which is approval of selection of external audit firm, which is proposed as Clifton Larson Allen, LLP, and Carol LaChapelle, our CFO, will present board action number 9. Karen?
Thank you. Good morning. This is Carol LaChapelle. This request is for the engagement of an external audit firm. Our audit firm performs our annual financial audit, quarterly financial reviews. They test compliance and controls related to federal grant programs, and they prepare various state reports and regulatory reports that are required throughout the year. The Rhode Island State Office of the Auditor General, along with the Department of Administration, governs the auditor selection process, and they have final approval of our external auditor. We issued an RFP for services covering fiscal years 2023, 24, and 25. We received responses from 3 firms. 2 were large national firms, very experienced, and both had offices in Rhode Island. The 3rd firm was a regional firm from Connecticut, governmental experience, but very limited HFA experience. A committee of accounting and finance staff reviewed and scored the responses in accordance with the state requirements, and the scoring sheet is attached as attachment B. The fees were similar for all 3 proposals, ranging from $188,000 to $204,000 annually. The highest scoring firm was Clifton Larson Allen, primarily because of their extensive experience with HFAs, also with housing authorities and governmental audits. They are our current auditor. They have been our auditor for the past 2 years and are very familiar with our different business lines, all of our requirements, all the regulations that go into each program that we manage, and they're very understanding of our strict reporting deadlines. So we really need dedicated staff from an external audit firm, just because throughout the entire year we've got something going on that we need them to provide a report or do a review of. Under the state regulations, audit firms should be engaged for no more than 8 consecutive years, so we're well within those guidelines. And I'm happy to answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you, Carol. Do we have any questions, Beth?
Do we have the same audit? This is Beth Dwyer. Do we have the same audit partner as in previous years, or are we switching that up?
This year it's a different audit partner.
Thank you.
Other questions? Jim Thorson, hearing none. I'd like to request a motion
for approval.
Board action number 9.
So moved.
Beth, do I have a second?
Second
by Robert. Corinne, would you please conduct a voice vote and report the results?
Yes, this is Corey Meyer speaking. Commissioners, all those in favor of approval of the selection of an external audit firm, namely Clifton Larson Allen LLP, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With a unanimous vote, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Corinne. It's Jim Thorson again. There being no further business, I request a motion to adjourn. Beth? Evan? Corinne?
In favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With that, the motion is approved. Thank you,
Corinne. The meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners is now adjourned. Thank you for your participation. Yeah. Public folks who are interested.